opinions and options. Hi, and welcome to the A&J PEI Treasures the Gene Simpson Author Blog Post and Podcast. I'm your host, Gene, coming to you from the beautiful province of Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Oh, thank you.
The blog post and podcast is an opinion piece and only reflects this author's opinion and not that of any other entity. I hold no designations in politics, economics, or medicine. I am retired from the mental health field. I am a humanitarian and speak from that viewpoint only. Whether you agree or not, at least I hope it makes you think. This week, I look at the world of pet diagnosis and the bewildering array of information that can make things both better and worse. If you want to find out more, then stay tuned. This past while, we'd noticed that Sam, our dog, has been drinking more and urinating more frequently. It wasn't stopping, so it wasn't the warm weather. For me, it was disturbing as I could see that something was amiss. Sam had never been that way. He's a pretty clockwork dog. This means he likes his scheduling, he likes his routine, he even knows when his lunchtime and bedtime are, and literally starts getting ready near the same time every day. Anything that isn't routine for him makes me suspicious. So that was my first hint that things were wrong. After a few days of bathroom trips in the middle of the night, it was determined we should take him to the vet. So we called. There is, much like with doctors, a lack of vets in the area. We got him in on a call and see about cancellations basis. In the meantime, it had worsened, which means I was going to the bathroom in the middle of the night more often than before. So the vet made room for Sam. After the visit, we faced the worst nightmare of every pet parent. Sam was diagnosed as diabetic. Here is where the beginning of confusion started. First, I did not go to the appointment. I have my doubts that I would have made a difference being there, as I had no real knowledge of dog diabetes and no idea about the costs and treatment. I knew from family experience that it can be complicated. There's a need for glucose monitoring, medication. I knew what some of the items were, at least from the human perspective. My husband was a complete newbie and had no idea what any of this stuff was. I know they like to make available all the information, but the laundry list of items mixed with my knowledge of human diabetes complicated things further. I didn't realize that dogs don't need constant blood work like humans. The medication is done on a schedule. With a stable diet, one doesn't need to do constant monitoring as with people whose diets vary. The listing containing prices of treatment options contained more than one option. This confused my husband, who thought he would need both of every option. This much, at least, I was knowledgeable about. I could separate out the options. The totals, therefore, were meaningless, as some options would not fit for Sam, others would only be needed in much less numbers than for humans. Once we understood that the bottom line was meaningless, we worked on the numbers that we could see that Sam needed. At this point, it became necessary for another appointment because we had a better grasp on what was going on and the actual costs were easier to weed out. I'm sure most pet parents who hear bad news lose their ability to hear most of what is said. So within a day or so at the most, we had decided that the initial $800 a month looking cost was not the actual cost and needed to be clearer on what we were actually looking at. The problem at most of the programs for vets seems that they end up having the end total come up. Despite being told it is meaningless, people tend to be in shock and will look at that as the guideline. This is useless. I would suggest a lovely black Sharpie or a sticker with "Please call us to discuss options" might be less intimidating to the already shell-shocked owner, finding out Sam, Fido, or Fluffy needs special care. Sam, of course, is only 5 years old. Often diabetes is diagnosed middle age and later in a dog's life. Sam is somewhat unusual. At the same time, one in every 300 dogs will develop diabetes in its lifetime. I have a link to an article in my podcast write-up and in my blog post that talks about that and gives a little more information on what to watch for. The thirst and frequent urination are at top of the list. It progresses from there. The earlier it is caught and treated, the better the dog's chances. It's not an easy thing. There is a problem of expenses. These can reach around $3,000 annually. And I've got a link to an article in my podcast write-up and in my blog post on that. And this article gives a better idea. We're kind of guesstimating Sam's case in Canadian prices, and I'm guessing the article is American. Much depends on the size of the dog and other factors that the vet will examine. Blood glucose testing is, as pointed out in the article, every 6 months after the stabilizing. One still has to know their animal and watch out for other issues. Some concerns center around too much insulin or not enough insulin. The testing curves, the every 6 months test of blood that I mentioned, are to help with getting this sorted. In the meantime, we have to get used to Sam getting shots every 12 hours. And worse, Sam has to get used to having shots every 12 hours. That's two times a day, and it has to be done with food. Or actually after a kind of a wait between food and the shot. Depending on how he responds to treatments, we need to know what to do if he needs adjusted doses and such. The amount of insulin that he needs will be dependent upon how he responds to treatment. This is all new to us as pet parents, and I have to admit to a little anxiety as to whether we'll be doing it all right. You're never prepared for the illness of your fur babies. It has tossed most of the ANJPEI Treasures work into reverse, and we've been spending most of our time trying to get our ducks in a row for Sam as fast as we can. We know that time is of the essence in getting him taken care of, so that we can get his diabetes under control. We're on the first steps right now. It might or might not work. That is the other consideration. There is no reason to expect that it won't work at this point. However, there is always the possibility. So we're going about this one step at a time. The vet tech showed us and got us to practice giving Sam needles using saline solution. It's not impossible to learn to manage to do this. It is not impossible to manage your dog's diabetes. Feeding routines will have to be followed closely. Calorie intake has to be as exact as possible. I think the most important advice I can give you and your doggy friend is to make sure that you know their habits. Know how much they drink and eat and potty. We have Sam in at night, and he's pretty much with us most of his time, so we noticed almost immediately that his habits had changed when he started to drink more and need to be let out at night. With almost any veterinary issue, catching changes in your pet is very important. The sooner you get that looked at, the more likely to get a good outcome. Since starting the draft of this blog post and podcast, we have begun treatment with Sam. The first shot was difficult, to say the least. I only managed to get about 3/4 of it in. The second time we approached much differently. Sorry to say, and I apologize to vets everywhere, we resorted to a treat to distract him. Hubby decided to try what he does to make Sam more comfortable around tools in the garage and showed him the needle and said, "Good needle, good Sam." Whether that worked, the treat distraction worked, or he's starting to pair the shot with feeling better because almost immediately he stopped needing to drink and potty so much. So not very scientific, I'm afraid, but we got the second shot in all right. Right now it's more urgent to get the insulin into him without it being a battle royale. At least we got the second shot in without trauma to him or us. He hardly noticed it. The vet tech says eventually he's going to get more used to it and it won't be as hard. So remember, pet parents, don't give up when at first you don't succeed. Try it a different way. Your vet may be able to make suggestions. People like to complain about the veterinary clinics being about money. What they don't understand is that they are providing you with every possible option that you might wonder about. They also, to be realistic, are just like you and me, and they got to pay for all their supplies, etc. up front. You need to understand, just because they give you a long list does not mean that you will need to get everything on it. For example, there might be multiple types of insulin available, or whatever the medication. Make sure that you know the options, and which are options and which are necessary. If the clinic didn't care about animals, they wouldn't have taken on that job. It would be rather a waste of time to work in a profession that you didn't care about. I can see how people might start to feel overwhelmed, and seeing the things add up can be overwhelming. But at the same time, if you don't get the options available, then you'd be complaining that you didn't tell you everything. It's not an easy balancing act. If you take the item list item by item and look everything up, to try to sort things and spreadsheet what you can and will purchase, what you need to purchase, it might not be so traumatic as you first thought. We hope that Sam will have a happy and healthy future, and we're willing to invest in it. The clinic has been helpful and has met with us more than once to discuss treatment options more specific to Sam's case. The second time was to train us to administer treatment. We came home with all the items necessary to give Sam a good start on getting stable, and hopefully it goes well from there. Don't allow yourself to be completely overwhelmed by the costs. Not all of them may apply in your case. It's in your hands whether or not you can afford treatment. It's a bit pricey and it won't be easy, but in our case, it pretty much takes up the sales from the past summer to make his treatment for the year. He's a young dog and we hope to be able to give him a good quality of life as possible. It is not to say that if you feel you cannot afford it, that you are wrong. It's costly and it could fail. It's an individual decision and a private one. Remember, it's your life and your pet. It's your choice and no choice is right or wrong. The treatment of choice will still leave some anxieties. As Benjamin Hoff is credited with saying, lots of people talk to animals. Not very many listen, though. That's the problem. So my best advice in this blog post or podcast is to make sure to listen to your pet. They tell you something is wrong by behaving differently. We knew something was up when he's drinking and potty changed. If you listen to your pet, you'll have a better chance to help them if and when they need it. Whether you agree with me or not, I hope I made you think. Thanks for listening to my podcast and or reading my blog post, and thanks for your interest in ANJPEI Treasures. Keep watching because we're always working on something. Thank you. Our blog posts are available on WordPress and Goodreads. Podcasts are available on Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, just to name a few. My ebooks can be found on Smashwords, at least that's where I have them. You can also find us on Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and my husband's account is on Facebook, and I have that in the links in my podcast write-up and in my blog post. Thank you for listening or reading. Bye for now.